Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, May 12th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. There's just 1 week to go before lawmakers must end the 2008 legislative session. DFLers who control the House and Senate plan to send Governor Pawlenty several budget-related items that he is threatening to veto, even as they continue budget talks with him. Several lawmakers said they plan to pass the finance bill, the tax bill, the education finance bill, and a health care reform bill today. Pawlenty and legislative leaders met briefly on Sunday, but they couldn't reach a budget deal. They're trying to erase a $935 million projected budget deficit. Republican House Minority Leader Marty Seifert said the main disagreement is over the best way to cap property tax increases, something Governor Pawlenty has called a linchpin to any agreement.
The linchpin has been turned into the grenade pin, and I just hope that they can get serious, because it looks like, in my opinion, the whole deal is based upon having a balanced budget that reflects everyone's priorities and meaningful property tax relief, and I just don't see that happening right now.
The final act of the session is playing out in the week marking Minnesota's 150th anniversary as the 32nd state in the Union. As part of the sesquicentennial celebration, a wagon train of 20 carts and prairie schooners drove 100 miles over the weekend from Cannon Falls to St. Paul, where it arrived for the official opening ceremony on the Capitol grounds. But as Minnesota Public Radio's Jess Mador reports, not everyone was celebrating.
As the horses and riders pulled up to the Capitol after their week-long trek, hundreds of people crowded around to greet the wagon train. The drivers and passengers, dressed in period costume, were clearly glad to be there.
Happy birthday, Minnesota!
Wagon driver Doc Haldy is from near Aitkin. He says he's been having a ball.
It's been a wonderful experience, and I wouldn't trade it for two good mules and a sack of flour.
Wearing a pale leather jacket with long fringe, Haldy was soaking up the attention.
We've had mostly really great weather, and I'll tell you what, it's really very moving to see all these people meet us and greet us along the way. And especially here at the Capitol, this is kind of a rush.
The wagon train arrived in the Twin Cities early in the weekend. It slowly made its way through Minneapolis and into St. Paul, where it headed down Summit Avenue to the Capitol. A protest group calling itself the Seven Fire Summit blocked the wagon train for about an hour Saturday as it arrived in Fort Snelling. Representatives of the mostly Dakota group say the sesquicentennial is making a mockery of the historic genocide of Native peoples. Seven people were arrested and released with warnings. On Sunday, after marching from Mounds Park, the group played music and held protest signs across the street from the Capitol. When the wagons arrived for the ceremony, the group marched peacefully in front of it but didn't attempt to delay it. Chris Matonupa is a retired professor of Dakota Studies and a representative of Seven Fires Summit. He says it's important for the state to openly acknowledge its painful past.
Unless the history of Minnesota includes massive land theft, broken treaties, genocide, then it'll still remain a whitewashed history.
Matonupa said he'd like to see Minnesota use the celebrations as an opportunity to paint a truer picture of its history. As the horses moved past the Capitol, the official ceremony got underway. Governor Tim Pawlenty spoke briefly, saying this was a day to celebrate what makes Minnesota special.
It's a spirit that makes hundreds converge on a lakeside town each year to celebrate the opening of the walleye season. It's the spirit of our rural neighbors who show up to harvest friends' corn when they hear he or she's been hurt or sick. It's the spirit that brings out volunteers for countless youth hockey games and soccer teams, charity walks, food shelf collections, mentoring programs, and military families willing to dedicate their lives to a cause or a purpose that is bigger than just themselves.
The governor then ceded the stage to a handful of elementary school students who read essays on the meaning of statehood. A number of public officials, including Senators Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar, also spoke. Towards the end of the afternoon, the wagon train left St. Paul and headed out. Today, it'll be visiting Bemidji, one of a handful of cities designated as honorary capitals for the week. The other honorary capitals are Thief River Falls, Detroit Lakes, New Ulm, and Winona. Jess Mador, Minnesota Public Radio News, the Capitol.
Turning now to the campaign, with the DFL state convention now just weeks away,
Jack
many observers
Nelson
view
Palmer
Al Franken
the state,
as the shoe-in for the party endorsement to run against Republican Senator Norm Coleman. But there's another Democrat in the race, and Jack Nelson Palmeyer says he too is
Americans.
A serious contender.
He says the money could be
some
better
DFL leaders say activists are taking another look at Nelson Palmeyer after Franken's recent tax problems.
Green energy programs.
Minnesota Public Radio's
Nelson
Mark Zedeklik
says
reports.
He's closing the gap with Al Franken.
We talk about the Iraq War in ways that connect with people's lives. That's why I'm constantly reminding people, you know, one day of Iraq War spending, we could hire 9,300 teachers for a year. Or people get it when I talk about, you know, we're going to spend more money to occupy Iraq this year as a nation than we are on our entire highway and road budget. So people are making that connection between the cost of the war and unmet needs at home.
No one disputes Nelson Palmeyer has come a long way since he launched his Senate campaign last October.
He does have a great deal of support.
Democratic National Committee member and Minnesota DFL Feminist Caucus Chair Jackie Stevenson is supporting Franken. But she says she's not surprised. Nelson Palmeyer's anti-war, out-of-Iraq message is appealing to DFL activists.
I think it's almost a little too early to call because I don't know that anybody has sat down and actually added up their numbers. Because, you know, when you go to a congressional district convention and you find mobs of people in a T-shirt for one candidate or another, that doesn't mean that that candidate has those votes there.
Stevenson says she thinks Franken's tax problems led some activists to look more closely at Nelson Palmeyer. But she's convinced once people understand the full story, any unease about Franken fades. The campaigns go through painstaking efforts to measure their support, but neither will share their numbers. Franken spokesman Andy Barr predicts his candidate will leave the convention in Rochester with the Senate endorsement.
We're confident because of the way that Al's message has been resonating with delegates that we talk to every day here in the office and around the state. It's a message that's very much about being a voice for Minnesota's working families. They haven't had one in Norm Coleman. And the folks we talk to are ready to send a different kind of senator.
Barr will not go as far as to say he expects Franken to win on the first ballot. While the Franken campaign is certain the general election will be between Franken and Coleman, Minnesota State University Mankato political science professor Joe Kunkel says he doesn't think it's a foregone conclusion that Franken will walk away with the endorsement.
Jack Nelson Palmeyer is running a surprisingly strong campaign for the DFL endorsement.
But Kunkel says a Nelson Palmeyer endorsement victory would be a tremendous upset. Kunkel says Nelson Palmeyer is benefiting from Mike Cerisi's decision to leave the Senate race 2 months ago and from Franken's tax problems. He says Nelson Palmeyer's left of Franken positions on the issues, from the war to universal health care, are attractive to party activists who tend to be more liberal than most Minnesotans. Ultimately, Kunkel thinks convention delegates will make their endorsement decision on electability. Nelson Palmeyer does not have Franken's name recognition or his ability to raise money. But Kunkel emphasizes Nelson Palmeyer also lacks Franken's baggage, from tax issues to the wealth of material from Franken's time as a satirist and political commentator.
It's clear that Senator Coleman wants to make Al Franken the issue rather than the issues being the issue. And I think DFL delegates will be looking at both those candidates and seeing who they think might be electable.
Kunkel says Franken's liabilities and Nelson Palmeyer's low profile may have Democrats looking for an alternative. Attorney Mike Cerisi has not slammed shut the door to reenter the race. If the convention ends split and without a Senate endorsement, Cerisi could step back into the contest without violating his pledge not to run against an endorsed candidate. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.